Hello, this is Lafayette Faust, creator of the Nevermore Hollows podcast. Thank you for making the show a success. Please take a moment to subscribe, give 5 stars, comment, and share the show with your friends. It's the best way to help us grow and to be able to continue to provide quality horror content. Also, please support our new art director, Chris Madman Goins at Black Sheep Studios TN on Instagram. He has some amazing Nevermore Hollows art for sale, signed by the both of us, as well as many other original pieces I think you're gonna love. Now, for you horror hounds who like to have a good laugh, I invite you to check out my other podcast. It's called The Three Uncool Cats. In it, my two friends and I sit in a basement and discuss music, movies, and whatever else comes into our warped minds. I would really appreciate it if you would give it a listen. Now, with that out of the way, I invite you to sit back, turn on a light, and prepare yourself. The Boo Hag was ancient. She was tall, and normally her skin seemed as withered as Egyptian parchment. It sagged from her frame and hung from her skull like an ill-fitting horror mask. Her stringy hair draped below her waist and was currently matted with dirt and leaves, for she had only recently awakened from a grave of her own making after 100 years sleep. She had come to Nevermore Hollows to seek vengeance for her son, a creature the locals called the Crawling Man. He had been in the area for the past few weeks, snatching children, eating their souls, and turning them into his slaves. Even in her decades-long slumber, she had been telepathically linked to him, and after 2 teenagers had crept into his secret lair and slain him, she had awakened with vengeance in her black heart. To her surprise, the closer she got to the town and its surroundings, she began to sense other paranormal entities that already converged in the area. Most of them evil, all of them strong, but she was stronger. She was the first daughter of the first witch and had lived thousands of years in obscurity, which is what she preferred. That way, no one sought her out to burn her at the stake. There were those who suspected her existence, though they could never prove it because she always made sure none of her victims lived long enough to give any details. There were stories, but they were all chalked up as being fairy tales to scare little children. But, as with most stories that persist over great lengths of time, there was some truth to them. One such truth was that her original skin had long since withered away, requiring that she replace it often with the skin of beautiful young women. She would gain power from the new skin and would use it until it withered away and needed another replacement. It was also true that she gained power by sucking out the life force of her victims while they slept. When it came to this arcane practice, she did not stick only to young women. She preyed on all people, male and female, young and old. Now that the Boo Hag was in Nevermore, she had needed a new skin to rejuvenate herself and replace the power that had ebbed away during her time in the grave. So, she had just taken a new skin from a naive teenage girl who had been practicing witchcraft in the bedroom of her middle-class suburb home. Her name had been Murga, and she had summoned the Boo Hag with the intent to use her to kill another girl at school because they both had a crush on the same boy. But now,
Mirga's lifeless and skinless body lay on the floor at the Boo Hag's feet. This new skin felt good. It was wet and supple. It clung to her long, lanky frame instead of hanging from it like her old skin had. The Boo Hag felt new power course through her.
"Dumb girl wasn't so dumb. Her stronger than me thought,"
she croaked.
"Her skin alive with dark magic, but not enough to make me big strong. Me need more souls."
When traveling, the Boo Hag did not walk. She floated about, with her feet 6 inches off the ground. She grimaced at Mirga's flayed corpse, then floated out of the girl's room, through the house, and out the front door. She stopped in the center of the street with her crooked cane in hand. She closed her eyes and turned her nose into the air and sniffed.
"Me smell you sleeping with them bad, bad thoughts. Me come eat you soul. Use them bad, bad thoughts."
She glanced down the street, which was lined with a winding sidewalk. Every 60 feet was an ornate lamppost that cast pools of yellow light. Instead of providing an invitation to stroll, the light made the landscape seem jaundiced and diseased. After a moment, she was able to discern from which home the dark fragrance emitted, and she floated toward a 2-story craftsman at the end of the cul-de-sac. She reached the house and pointed her gnarled cane at the front door. It swung open and she floated inside. The door closed behind her. She stopped in the dark living room, closed her eyes, and sniffed again. Once she honed onto the scent, she opened her eyes and floated up the stairs to the second floor, which was where the bedrooms were located. She passed the first 2 bedrooms and ended up in a 3rd one at the end of the hallway. This door was slightly ajar, and she pushed it open and drifted inside. A 17-year-old boy lay in his bed. His walls were covered in posters of bands with blatant satanic imagery. His earbuds were in, and his phone was on the bed beside him. He had fallen asleep watching disgusting videos on the dark web. This pleased the Boo Hag. This boy had become so callous to images that should disturb any normal person that he was able to fall asleep and dream without fitfulness. His soul was tainted by a darkness beyond mere witchcraft and magic, and after she sucked it out of him, she would be given a special boost of power because of his blight. She stepped up onto his bed and squatted over him. She could sense he was in the midst of a twisted dream, fueled by the horrific sounds coming from the disgusting video. She settled herself down onto his chest and put her mouth over his and took a long, deep breath. As she sucked the boy's soul from him, she closed her eyes in ecstasy as she tasted its depravity.
"This boy dark, dark. Him soul tastes like the sludge in the pit of hell. It bring me much juju."
She crawled off the boy when she was finished drinking his soul. She stood straighter, felt the boy's darkness slither through her, felt her new skin crawl with its power. She smiled, revealing her long yellow teeth.
"Me almost strong enough. Me done eat 2 tainted souls. Now me need to eat the soul of a warrior to be big, big strong. to make this town a dead town.
The Boo Hag floated out of the house and into the street. Her new skin was too small for her lanky frame and had split open at her elbows and knees. The flesh on her face was so taut that it pulled her lips back in a constant grimace, revealing her yellow teeth. She was unable to blink, making her gaze even more piercing and maniacal. Her renewed black magic powers writhed inside her.
Me not be this strong in 300 years. This town got darkness in it. Not me never see before.
After a moment, she caught a whiff of an energy that was clearly that of a warrior. It was unlike any she'd ever experienced because it radiated as if it was full of a burning light. She decided she would test her new power against this person. She would go to them, and she would kill them. But first, she needed a familiar. She began to chant, her raspy voice calling out to the animals that used this neighborhood and its surrounding woods as their home. Within a few heartbeats, blackbirds and bats fluttered around her, and a small group of dogs and cats padded over. A mangy coyote, a fat skunk, a massive boar, and a dozen rattlesnakes crept from the woods. And a raccoon that had lost all its fur due to sarcoptic mange scrambled from a nearby tree. The animals formed a circle around the old witch.
You the animals that willing to be my bad juju headers. But only one can be. Let me see. Let me see.
The Boo Hag began to turn in a slow circle, eyes closed, holding her cane out, feeling the energy coming from the animals that surrounded her.
Me need one that be smart, but will also be sneaky sneak. One that can watch me enemy and tell me what they up to. And also fight with me. That mean no sneaky snake. No coyote, and no big old boar.
As she continued to slowly turn, she flicked her wrist at the animals she dismissed, and the snakes and the coyote and the boar all turned and slunk and slithered back into the black woods.
Me need one that can also be deadly.
During her third turn, she flicked her wrist again and the crows and the bats took flight, swarming around her before flying off into the night.
Not you doggies and kitties. You not clever enough or deadly mean. Only one got the sneaky sneak and the deadly. That means me pick you.
Let's take a quick break.
Out of the woods can the
Moon Carter is a family fictional podcast, and I mean for the family. Parents, do you find it really hard to make it through your children's podcasts?
Then listen to Moon Carter and join me, Splot, and the gang on our magical adventures. Click all the links below or get it from where you get your podcast from. But if you need to be told that, then I worry about you. Splash. It's like drink water from where water's from.
Not,
what's that about?
Not helping. Moon Carter is a podcast. You like it.
She stopped turning and pointed directly at the hairless raccoon who was sitting with his head slightly cocked at her. It was completely hairless, with thick, scabbed skin. And though it was hairless, it still had black circles of flesh around its eyes and nose and on its hands. It looked less like a raccoon and more like a miniature ghoul that had crawled from a grave. With her decision made, she looked at the rest of the cats and dogs sitting expectantly around her. She grimaced and pointed her cane and said,
die.
Six dogs of various breeds and seven cats all fell dead where they sat. The Boo Hag smiled, finding black joy in the knowledge that she would cause grief in the hearts of the families when they found their pets dead in the street.
"Come with me,"
she said to the raccoon, and floated out of the neighborhood. The subdivision sat on the side of a large hill that overlooked the town of Nevermore Hollows. At the exit, she stopped and looked down upon the town as it glittered with ornate street lighting and the reds, yellows, and greens of the traffic lights. She tilted her head and sniffed the air, locking in on the warrior's energy. The light inside this person was strong.
This one be goody, goody. Got much light in him soul. Me kill him, take him soul. Then me make war on this town.
The Boo Hag glanced down at the raccoon at her side and saw that its eyes had turned completely black. She nodded and floated down the road toward her next victim. The raccoon let out a long, slow growl and followed. The Boo Hag cast a spell, ensuring that they would be invisible to anyone who might look their way, allowing her and the raccoon to travel unmolested. They made their way along the dark countryside to an older suburb of single-story bungalows.
"Goody, goody be in this place,"
she said as she hovered up the driveway to the last home on the street. It was surrounded by trees, windows aglow with soft golden light. She looked down at the raccoon.
"Me hate this spirit with all me is. Me snuff it out."
She dropped onto the lawn, just outside the window that overlooked the den. She peered inside and saw a man sitting in an armchair reading a book. He was 60-ish, hair gray at the temples, and had reading glasses perched on the tip of his nose. The Boo Hag could not see the name of the book he read, but she could sense that it brought him pleasure. She noticed that there was a table across the room that held a couple dozen picture frames, all with photos of the man in various seasons of his life. Some were of him in military uniform, others were of him in many places around the world, surrounded by children. The Boo Hag considered her opponent.
Him be older but still have the fire fight in him. Him is still a warrior, but him love peace. And him help save kitties all around the world. Him's light is powerful, and me get big, big strong when me snuff it out. Me have to be smart with this one.
She closed her eyes and mumbled an ancient phrase. Her body morphed from the terrifying old hag into an 8-year-old girl. She walked over to the front door and urgently knocked. Colonel Gerald Barrett was retired from the Marines and a widower. He sat in his favorite chair, reading an old Dirk Pitt novel. He loved the main character and his faithful sidekick because they were men of a bygone era. They were men who rose to the occasion, stood against evil, and fought for those who could not fight for themselves, all with a cavalier sense of humor. They literally laughed in the face of danger. Gerald smiled at a scene where Dirk said something humorous to a villain who had just tried to kill him. Gerald was eager to see how Dirk got himself out of this dangerous mess, but before he could read further, there was a knock on the door. He put the book on the table and checked his watch. It was just after 11 o'clock, and he was not expecting anyone so late. He opened the door, and there stood a little girl. Her clothes were dirty and torn, and she had her head down and was crying. Upon seeing the tears and torn clothes, he became instantly alarmed and wary. He knew there was a handgun in the table drawer beside the door in case it was needed. He left it there for the moment and squatted down to be on the same level as the girl. As he did so, his eyes darted around the yard and the street, looking for danger. He only caught a glimpse of some pale animal as it darted behind a bush. "Hey, honey, what's the matter? Are you lost? Are you hurt?" The girl wiped her eyes but didn't look up.
I'm scared," she whispered.
Gerald did not see any sign of imminent danger. "Okay, I'm going to let you in and I'm going to call the sheriff. We're going to take care of you. Do you live around here?" The little girl kept her head down. She shook it, indicating that she did not live close by. "Okay, come on in. I'm going to get you something to drink while we wait on the sheriff." Gerald ushered the girl inside and closed the door behind him. He turned and grabbed his phone from beside the book he had been reading. He headed for the kitchen, his back to the girl. "Are you hungry?"
"Me be much, much hungry,"
the little girl replied, but not in the sweet, innocent voice of a child.
"And me gonna eat you so."
Gerald stopped dead in his tracks. He tingled with icy, primitive fear. He had never heard a voice so inhuman, so possessed with hate. He turned and saw not a little girl, but instead a nightmare come to life. Though he could not fully comprehend what stood before him, he knew he would die on this night. But, being a warrior, he knew that while it was okay to feel fear, it was not okay to die a coward. So, resolving himself to the fact that these were to be his last moments on earth, he was going to make damn sure he hurt this beast as much as possible on his way to the afterlife. Channeling the hero he had just been reading about, he cocked his head and said, "I've danced with a few women in my life, but honey, you're the ugliest." The Boo Hag looked confused at the fact that he did not cry or plead for his life. She started to speak, but before she could say anything, Gerald said, "If it's okay with you, I think I'm going to take the lead." With that, Colonel Gerald Barrett, retired but still with a warrior spirit, threw his cell phone at the hag, hitting her square in the face. He then snatched open the drawer, grabbed his gun, and fired three quick rounds into the beast before him. It was a perfect, tight grouping to center mass. The Boo Hag regained her composure, laughed, then swiped at the gun, knocking it out of Gerald's hands. She then grabbed him by the throat and squeezed. Not able to turn his head, his vision darkening, Gerald saw the ornate metal cross on the wall beside the door. He fumbled for it, grasped it, then, holding it as if it were a dagger, the crossbars acting as a hilt, he rammed the cross under her chin. It plunged through the floor of her mouth and pierced her upper palate. This surprised the Boo Hag. Her eyes shot wide, and she loosened her grip enough that he was finally able to breathe. Gerald intuited from her shock that maybe the way to kill her was to destroy her brain. He yanked the cross free, and thick, dark blood flowed from the wound. He shoved the cross toward her left eye, intending to stab it into her brain. She was quicker than she looked. She let go of his throat and twisted away from him. The cross cut deep into her cheek. He was relentless in his attack, forcing her back as he plunged the cross into her chest, her arms, her neck, as he looked for an opening to stab her brain.
"Come help,"
the Boo Hag yelled, and to Gerald's surprise, a mangy and scabbed raccoon ran through the door and clambered up his leg onto his chest and started clawing at his face. Gerald dropped the cross and grabbed the animal as blood poured down his face into his eyes. The Boo Hag saw her opening. She stepped forward, grabbed Gerald's head, and twisted, snapping his neck. In the nanosecond before Gerald stepped into a kingdom where he would receive a victor's crown for his service in this fallen realm, he realized that the only way evil ever wins is if it cheats. The Boo Hag dropped Gerald's lifeless body to the floor and grimaced. It was rare that anyone had ever fought back. Usually, upon seeing her, they were frozen in horror. Occasionally, they tried to run, but never got far. Of those few who did choose to fight, it was never with the ferocity that this man had shown. In anger, she spat on his body, then used an arcane spell to heal the wounds he had caused. Then she turned and floated out the door and toward the next neighborhood, with a new understanding that she should never pick a fight with anyone who had such a light in their soul as this man had.